Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of August 11th. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed legislation that would allow Americans to import lower-cost prescription drugs from other industrialized countries. The so-called Pharmaceutical Market Access Act must still be approved by the U.S. Senate before passing into law, but has already created a furor of debate in the U.S. and Canada and a backlash from America's most powerful pharmaceutical companies. If passed by the U.S. Senate, the Pharmaceutical Market Access Act would allow U.S. pharmacies and distributors to import certain prescription drugs from Canada, the European Union, and seven other countries, reselling these imported drugs to American patients. 3 years ago, President Bill Clinton signed similar drug import legislation into law, but that law required the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to certify that imported drugs would pose no additional risk to consumers. Neither the Secretary of Health and Human Services under Clinton nor under Bush has been willing to make this certification, so the new drug import bill orders the Department of Health and Human Services to set up a system that will definitively allow the importation of Food and Drug Administration approved drugs from approved facilities in Canada, the European Union, and seven other countries. Supporters of the bill hope that the legislation will eventually be made part of a new Medicare prescription drug plan. The U.S. House of Representatives approved the legislation by a vote of 243-186. The vote followed heated debates in Congress that pitted seniors and patients' advocacy groups against the pharmaceutical industry. Supporters of the bill described cancer victims and pensioners unable to afford life-saving medications. Opponents warned that the bill would allow U.S. pharmacies to pawn off low-quality imitation drugs that could be ineffective or even hazardous to patients. Supporters responded by accusing the opposition of exaggerating safety concerns to frighten seniors and by targeting America's pharmaceutical lobby for putting profits ahead of patients. The bill has a wide appeal for American patients, millions of whom buy prescription drugs from or in Canada and other countries. Several studies have concluded that Americans without drug coverage or benefits pay more for medications than anyone else in the world. 60 million Americans, or about 1 in 4, have no insurance coverage for prescription drugs, and one-third of the nation's elderly can't afford the prescription medications they require. About $1 billion worth of prescription drugs are shipped from Canada to the U.S. each year, either by mail order or by patients crossing the border to fill prescriptions. Canadian drugs cost an average of 50% less than in the U.S. because Canada has a price review board that keeps costs down, while the U.S. government places no regulations on drug prices. The allergy spray Flonase, for example, can be purchased from a Canadian internet discounter for less than $15, while a similar service based in the U.S. charges $55. Prozac sells for $2.63 a dose through a U.S. website, but costs less than half of that from Canadian and British online pharmacies. The cholesterol drug Zocor sells for almost twice as much in the U.S. as it does in Canada, Germany, Italy, Britain, or Japan. Many other leading prescription drugs have spreads between their foreign and U.S. market prices, ranging from 80% to more than 130%. Though a 1987 law made it illegal to import prescription drugs into the United States by ordering over the phone, the internet, or in person, U.S. officials have traditionally turned a blind eye to Americans importing enough medication for personal consumption and, according to the Canadian International Pharmacy Association, or CIPA, have never charged an individual or a company with illegal importing of medications. CIPA, Canada's leading group of pharmacies providing international prescription services to U.S. patients, has applauded the Market Act bill. Andy Trojak, Vice President of Standards for CIPA, says, quote, "We heartily applaud the U.S. House's wise vote to support seniors and America's working poor who need access to low-cost and safe Canadian drugs. Our members are proud to say that we serve hundreds of thousands of customers each year, and there has never been a major negative incident involving Canadian drugs," end quote. CIPA's members serve more than 1 million uninsured and low-income patients in the U.S., while CIPA's pharmacies sell their drugs at prices up to 85% less than U.S. costs. The association argues that its dealings are not costing U.S. drug companies much money. After all, most of Canada's drugs are made by American pharmaceutical companies, including Pfizer, Wyeth, and Merck, all of which have subsidiaries in Canada. In spite of the fact that the new bill simply legislates an activity that routinely takes place without great harm to U.S. patients or drug companies, the Bush administration has issued a statement describing the bill as, quote, "dangerous legislation," end quote. Mark McClellan, commissioner for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has said that the bill creates, quote, "a wide channel for large volumes of unapproved drugs and other products to enter the United States that are potentially injurious to public health and pose a great threat to the security of our nation's drug supply," end quote. William Hubbard, Associate Commissioner for Policy and Planning at the FDA, told the House of Representatives, quote, consumers who buy prescription drugs from foreign countries are at risk of suffering adverse events, some of which can be life-threatening, end quote. Supporters of the bill argue that the FDA and the Bush administration are simply protecting the American pharmaceutical industry. In June, a U.S. Congressional Research Service study found that Canadian and U.S. drugs are made and distributed using nearly identical standards. According to Republican Representative Dan Burton, quote, the only real concern is the profits of the pharmaceutical companies, end quote. Peter Wyckoff, director of the Minnesota Senior Federation, a nonprofit group that has helped consumers obtain cheaper drugs from Canadian internet pharmacies, accuses the FDA of scaremongering. Quote, they are misrepresenting, and they're doing it on the behest of the pharmaceutical industry to protect their profits, end quote. The U.S. pharmaceutical industry contributed more than $20 million to candidates in the last U.S. congressional election. About 80% of this money went to Republicans. Last year, the pharmaceutical industry employed 675 lobbyists and spent $91 million to twist the arms of congressmen on various issues. Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, one of the major lobby groups for the U.S. pharmaceutical industry, spent more than $14 million alone. Opposing the Pharmaceutical Market Access Act has been a key issue for this lobby in recent months. According to Jeff Truitt, spokesman for the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, quote, this is a major make-or-break issue for innovative pharmaceutical companies. We've been lobbying full tilt, end quote. The millions spent on lobbying government officials are just a small part of the drug lobby's effort to maintain its profitable status quo. In response to the threat of the Pharmaceutical Market Access Act, drug giant Eli Lilly took out full-page newspaper ads warning that the states would be flooded with counterfeit prescription drugs and that government price controls on medication would cost American jobs. In addition to running these ads, Lilly urged its employees and vendors to contact their government representatives. According to critics, the pharmaceutical industry has spent millions of dollars in recent months to launch a national media campaign portraying imported drugs as unsafe and suggesting that the bill will open U.S. borders to unwanted medications. But public safety does not appear to be the main concern of pharmaceutical giants. Eli Lilly's chief complaints with the proposal are that it forces drug companies, rather than taxpayers, to pay for cheaper drugs, and underestimates the research and development costs of drug manufacturing. Eli Lilly and the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America estimate that it costs $800 million to bring one drug to market. But the advocacy group Public Citizen suggests that this number significantly overstates real research and development costs. Nearly 44% of all drug research in the United States is funded by American taxpayers through the National Institutes of Health. Public Citizen calculates that after eliminating what taxpayers contribute and adjusting for accounting and tax considerations, the average actual outlay by a company for the research and development of a new drug is about $240 million. Even if these costs are high, rewards for U.S. drug manufacturers are skyrocketing. Expenditures for prescription drugs in the U.S. increased 17% last year, making pharmaceuticals the fastest-growing component of U.S. healthcare costs. While overall profits of Fortune 500 companies declined by 53% in 2001, the top 10 U.S. drug makers increased their profits by 33%, making pharmaceuticals America's most profitable business. Pfizer led U.S. pharmaceutical companies with $7.8 billion in profits in 2001, earning 24 cents on each dollar of sales for drugs like Zoloft and Viagra. Merck was the second most profitable U.S. drug company, netting $7.3 billion, or 15 cents on the dollar, for Zocor and other drugs. To promote even more robust sales, these companies devote millions of dollars to advertising and direct marketing each year. In 2001, Merck spent $160 million to advertise its arthritis drug Vioxx. That's more than was spent to advertise Budweiser or even Pepsi. In fact, research suggests that U.S. drug companies spend twice as much on advertising, marketing, and administration as they do on research and development. Families USA looked at the annual reports of nine leading drug companies to discover that in 2001, Merck spent $6.22 billion on marketing, advertising, and administration, but only $2.46 billion on research and development. Pfizer spent 35% of its $32 billion in revenue on marketing, advertising, and administration, compared with 15% on research and development. It all makes the $1 billion in annual illegal sales of prescription drugs from Canada to the U.S. seem like small potatoes. But that hasn't prevented a backlash from pharmaceutical giants keen to stake out their profit-making territory on both sides of the border. Last week, Pfizer informed 46 Canadian pharmacies that they must now buy their medicines directly from the company instead of through wholesalers. Pfizer announced that it is restricting its sales of medicines in Canada to prevent Canadian pharmacies from selling the drugs back into the U.S. market at cheaper prices. Pfizer joins Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, AstraZeneca, and Wyeth in similar efforts to stem the flow of pharmaceuticals from Canada to the United States. Along with restrictions on sales of drugs to Canadian pharmacists, the companies have earmarked money to put pressure on the Canadian government to end its pharmaceutical price controls. Even if the U.S. Pharmaceutical Market Access Act becomes law, making the sale of prescription drugs from Canada to the U.S. legal, consumers on both sides of the border might lose. Some observers fear that the flood of prescription drugs southward will create shortages in Canada that will drive prices up north of the border. While the current bill provides no guarantee that American pharmacies will pass on the savings they get from buying Canadian drugs to their American customers. Instead, U.S. drugstores could simply keep medicines marked up and pocket the difference. Overall, it's a sick business. Consider pulling your investment dollars out of America's pharmaceutical giants, buying generic medications, or looking into alternatives for the prescription drugs being pushed by big companies. Signing off, this is Andy Beasneys reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.